are here with a little bit of a reboot episode of the Res Ed Chat podcast. Super excited to be jumping in the mix here with you, Paul. So, you know, this may be sometimes, you know, the first time a person is joining in to listen. So, you know, we're going to go a little bit over the history and what folks can expect as we do this kind of reboot, as I'll call it. But so I know folks are probably familiar with you, but maybe not as familiar with how this show came to be. So if you want to kind of just give a quick background on how this podcast launched, and, you know, we'll get into some other stuff looking more towards the future.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for hosting me. This is a little weird. Usually I'm the one that's doing the hosting here. But it was, you know, the idea behind the Res Ed Chat podcast was that, well, first and foremost, Room Pact as a company just feels like we feel like we have a responsibility to give back to the profession. And the way we've been doing that primarily has been through knowledge dissemination, bringing knowledge forward, things, people doing cool things, sharing that through our blog, through all of our different channels. And so, like many folks, kind of during the COVID-19 pandemic and the height of that, people picking up new hobbies. I don't know. Did you pick up any new hobbies over? Were you like did you make bread or anything like that?
No, yeah, I feel like I've observed everything that, because the thing for me that I feel like I haven't like processed a whole lot in terms of like putting out content about it, but like I had my daughter in April of 2020. So that was sort of like my hobby was like childcare stuff is just like, you know, like reading a bunch about that, like, oh, does this work? And then like she started eating food and like, what can we feed her and stuff like that. So that was like a huge part of my experience. And then obviously like everybody else just like watching a bunch of movies and TV and that sort of thing. But yeah, unfortunately, no bread making for me, but yeah.
No bread making. Okay. But awesome. Great time to have a kid. I've known so many people that have had kids like around that time frame that said it was the best thing ever. Because, you know, when else do you get to spend such a long period of time, you know, with a new child? Like, it's perfect. But anyways, we digress. So COVID-19, height of the pandemic. My work structure kind of changed a little bit because normally I will be traveling to campuses and doing trainings on the software and things like that, which of course takes time. But we switched many of those over to virtual and kind of our day-to-day changed a little bit. And so that gave me a little bit of extra bandwidth. And so, you know, I've been blogging for a long time and doing that, but I'd never touched podcasting. And so I was like, well, this will be my sourdough starter or whatever. Let's give this a shot. Let's see how it goes. And so the idea was born kind of out of that, but also just Room Pact's desire to give back to the profession. And so looking at kind of the landscape of different podcasts that are out there, there's certainly ones that are broader student affairs, you know, podcasts, Student Affairs Now, higher ed related ones, some more niche ones related to maybe like social media or certain aspects of it. But there really wasn't a podcast out there for residence life, residential education professionals. And so this was intended to kind of fill that gap. You know, if I think back many years ago, I'd say almost 10 to 15 at this point, Jamie and Ed on Duty was a podcast during the break drink days, if folks remember those. And that's the last time I remember there ever being a residence life focus podcast. So that's kind of how it was born, was just that desire to kind of give back. And I think the unique niche it kind of was trying to carve out is what are things that are helpful to res life and res ed professionals, which may or may not be related to Room Pact software. So it's not a Room Pact's podcast where we're trying to tell you how great our software platform is, although sometimes it might include content like that. Main thrust of it is really to try to put out, you know, high impact practices, learn from other res ed professionals, what are their experiences? And so that's why we kind of created this, we called it a digital variety hour of various things that might be of interest to those folks. And that's how it came to be. That's the origin story.
Yeah. It's really exciting because, yeah, you obviously see yourselves as that sort of, you know, good partner, you know, like you said, creating content that's educational for folks. And yeah, being somebody who has podcasted for a long time, I always do kind of see, you know, what's out there. And I think recognizing kind of the value of having these conversations in this space where it's like, yeah, you know, we could write a lot of this stuff and, you know, have guest contributors. And it's like, you can still do that. But then like podcasts provide just a different medium and just something to engage people in a different way. And that, yeah, there is just sort of a gap. I will definitely give sort of my endorsement of that, of just like, you know, being such a huge part of, you know, higher ed and the student experience. It's just funny to me that it just doesn't seem as though, which, you know, maybe I'll give people the pass where it's like, maybe Res Lifers, they're all very busy. So, you know, just nobody's like, you know, been able to, you know, kind of invest into it. But, you know, again, being those good partners and just saying, well, you know, I have kind of creative, you know, content creative muscles that I'm very willing to kind of, you know, work out in a different way. And, you know, during, yeah, just a very tumultuous time, just like getting started with it, getting it out there. And now at this kind of inflection point, you know, we're perceiving this sort of reboot where, you know, I'm more than happy to kind of jump in and help and sort of continue this, because like I got my start in Res Life. So I just, my heart, you know, a piece of my heart has always kind of stayed in this work and stuff. So, you know, you've immersed yourself in these conversations over, you know, I guess what we can kind of colloquially call kind of season one. You know, it's been, you know, about 15 or so episodes, if I recall. So what have been some of your favorite moments from, you know, yeah, trying a new thing, getting that content out there, whether it's like stuff that, you know, people have told you about it, or maybe, you know, people that you've met or something? Just, yeah, any favorite moments, any little anecdotes?
Yeah. I mean, I can think of it in two ways, right? Like, so there's the process oriented stuff, and then there's the content oriented stuff, the people I interacted with, the stuff I did with that. And, you know, process wise, this is entirely different than a lot of other things that I've done, right? So I'm a professional speaker. Like, I'll go to campuses, I'll speak in person. So in many ways, it has some similarities to that. So I knew when I kind of walked into it, and especially if anyone out there wants to get into podcasting, I think any kind of public speaking you do really helps with this medium, right? It's not exactly the same. There's some tricks to it, but it certainly translates in the ability to, you know, think on your feet, think ahead, think of what you want to convey and how to convey that in kind of an organized manner. And so for me, it really kind of flexed those muscles, and also to be more conversational, because usually if I'm speaking, it's me talking to the audience or doing some kind of more limited one-on-one engagement if we're doing discussion and things like that, versus this is a whole different ball of wax. So like, I mean, one of my favorite things was really kind of the nerdy, can I figure this out? Can I do this? This is something new. I think it's maybe a personality flaw in me that I like to take something new, get kind of minimally competent, like, okay, I can do that, I've done that, and then it's on to the next shiny thing, right? So I'm kind of glad that you're taking over for us here, and you were available, and we could kind of bring you on, because I think you can take it beyond, you know, what I think I ever could devote to it in terms of time. But in terms of content wise, you know, there's been a few episodes that have been particularly special. Like, one of the most recent ones we did was on greening move out with Marshall University. And what's kind of fun, and what I realized the podcast platform allows you to do, is you see something that's interesting, and I'm like, oh, you know, Marshall University opened up a thrift store, which was basically the items that students would leave behind every year, and then kind of allowed their students to then go back in and, you know, pick up those recycled items that would normally probably go to a landfill at the end of the year. And I looked at that and go, wow, that's a really interesting, different way of doing that. And it allowed me to then reach out to them and say, hey, can we just do a podcast episode on this? You know, so like kind of scanning for those best practices, kind of helping amplify them for people, has probably been one of my favorite things. But then also too, you know, I've been around the field a while. So it's just a great opportunity to chat with your friends about nerdy topics and kind of put it out there. So that's, I think also one of my favorite ones.
Well, yeah. And I think just kind of circling back to the point I was making before too, like that idea of where somebody might say like, well, couldn't you just like write a blog post about that move out thing? And it's like, yes, and you still can't. Like, you know, there's always like the show notes, you know, for a podcast episode where you can, you know, link out to stuff or give a little bit more supplemental kind of context and stuff. But like you said, like it, a good podcast often feels like a good conversation between, you know, people about something relevant, and, you know, it's engaging and there's sort of a warmth to it. And, you know, yeah, there's just kind of something special about it. And I've absolutely had that same experience over the years of, you know, it is sort of a way to sort of bridge conversations. Yeah. Amplify good stuff that, you know, is going on. And, yeah, I mean, I've had my fair share of like, yeah, just like episodes with friends where like, you're a really interesting person and I want more people to know about you, or, you know, so yeah, I mean, it is such a kind of rich experience in that way. And I think, yeah. And I think too, like, I remember, cause I think it's such a unique experience and perspective to throw into the mix. Like, you had the episode with, your, QI intern, and just sort of like, you know, I think there's always kind of a hunger or sort of a craving of like, yeah, like, can we get more of like that student perspective? So it's like this sort of like, okay, let's sit down, let's have, you know, this conversation. And it doesn't feel like, you know, they're being interviewed or something. Cause I think that's like the trouble. If it's just like, okay, like, I'm sitting down with my boss to talk about something, like, they're maybe going to like, you know, it's like, oh no, if we can, you know, do this the right way, you get, you know, you've got kind of the good speaking skills and you've been, you know, like honing the conversations, you know, where it's like, okay, I've been doing this for several episodes. I feel I'm just getting better and better. And that's been my experience as well. Cause, yeah, I think that that's just an interesting point, is that this is a format that is well suited for people who are, public speakers, but it's going to kind of work out that one little muscle where it's like a little bit different, where it's like, oh, this is a two-way thing. I don't want to just be sort of monologuing the whole time. So,
Well, and also too, like, and I would say this is, you know, probably a goal of the podcast that I didn't articulate, but kind of came through over time, is, you know, when I work with both of our interns, so our past two summer interns, we did podcast episodes on, and, what I found was it's also a professional development opportunity for them. So not only do we get the gift of their voice and their perspectives and things like that, but participating as a guest on a podcast was something very different from what they had done before. And so as a supervisor, I said, hey, let's, you know, I want to give you some experience with this, something new and interesting. And then you'll have a piece of content that, you know, you could share in other places as you job search or what have you. I think it's a great opportunity for the participants to kind of have that experience if they haven't as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, yeah, especially for an intern, graduate student or a student that someone is working with. Yeah, that's absolutely the case. Cause yeah, I mean, that's, you know, just as someone who's done this for a long time too, like, it has helped me to try to be more articulate and all that. And it's like, well, that skill set is transferable into like, if you're running a meeting, you need to, you know, be a clear and concise and, you know, communicator. So yeah, just that, like you said, like thinking on your feet and just being well prepared. And yeah, I mean, the list goes on. So I think you kind of interwove this into your other answer, but like, if you want to get into some of the nuts and bolts of like, yeah, like maybe those like procedural things that you learned from this process, you know, if you learned from, you know, mistakes, or if it was just like a new tool or something, what were some of those kind of tangible things that you learned from this?
Yeah, you know, I guess I think it's relatively easy. It's hard and it's easy. Let me put it that way. I'm not going to say this is simple, right? Like, there are, I'm not going to devalue your expertise in this area because it is high, but it is both simple and difficult. Meaning, if the barrier to entry for someone that wants to start doing it is like, oh, how do I figure it out? There's a lot of platforms that will automate those things that make it relatively simple, right? Like, so the setup is not that hard. I think the harder part is actually filling that space with the content and how to do it in a meaningful way. That's really the part that's hard that you can grow into. The other thing, you know, I had blogged for so long. With writing, you can go back to it, you can edit it, you can change it. This is kind of a one-shot deal. So you click that button and you start recording, it goes. So it definitely has a different feel for it, because you're not live, but essentially you're live and recording it. And that's just a very kind of different medium. You know, if I've taught in some master's programs for higher ed, and if I were to do that again, I think I would force them to record a podcast episode to give them the experience of hosting one, being able to public speak, you know, like a different form of giving like a presentation in class. I'm assuming the outcomes would probably be very similar. But this would be an assignment I would probably actually give my students. I think it would stretch them in new ways.
No, yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree. And I think that is something that's becoming a little bit more common, because it could just be that, like, you know, you just want to kind of express yourself in a different modality. So it's like, can you make it open that way? If it's just like, okay, well, you can do whatever you want, or for a particular thing, yeah, you have to create an audio podcast and all that, where it will be pretty clear, I think, if, you know, certain people are unprepared, or, you know, yeah, they haven't really, like, even done some things to kind of control for quality. So yeah, it can be a really, I would say, humbling learning experience, where it's like, oh yeah, I could just throw this together, right? It's like, sure, you can, but it's going to show, you know, that you're going to have some, you know, gaps in the seams there. But so yeah, I think it is a really good learning opportunity for people. And yeah, I think I talk with a lot, you know, a lot of people about starting podcasts, and it is that idea where there's like, there is a learning curve, you know, it's not the biggest one, but there's just enough, you know, to get started. So most people can kind of overcome that. But then, yeah, there's kind of the just hills and valleys of like keeping consistent, keeping quality up, and, you know, not burning out on it too much, which I think is the case for any kind of content creation, is kind of, you know, getting that writer's block, as it were. But so, yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good kind of takeaway for people, you know, in a variety of format. You know, it can be, yeah, in a classroom or outside of it, just thinking of, you know, creative things, like, you know, doing something like this that can help folks, yeah, work on their presentation skills and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's professional development. I mean, it's another form of professional development, either doing it or consuming it, right? I think one of the, if COVID-19 gave us any gifts, and it gave us a lot of not gifts, but it gave us some gifts, I think it really forced a lot of the content creators, meaning including the professional associations, which I also see as a form of content creator, really kind of pushed them to think about different modalities for getting information out there, for engaging with viewers or members. And I think those trends had been happening for a while, but this just kind of pushed, you know, said, oh, okay, these trends have been happening a while, you haven't jumped. And it just gave the push to like, okay, now you have to, like, there's no choice. And as we kind of, I think the pendulum swings back, it's not going to swing back all the way to the place that it was, before, or at least hopefully not, because I think there's a lot of things we can take away that we don't have to go back to the way things were. We can actually make them better.
Well, and yeah, and I think sometimes it's like with any kind of digital engagement, whatever, like people think it's going to maybe replace something or what, it's like, well, no, it can just be where you're like sort of, you know, kind of modulating, where it's like, well, maybe this is better suited here, or we're going to do a lecture, but we're going to record it, so it's on the podcast too, or, you know, like that sort of experience. And it is kind of telling though with all that, where, yeah, you see people kind of, yeah, formally and permanently kind of integrating it into their strategy, any sort of kind of digital engagement stuff, you know, podcasts included, a lot of other things. And then the folks who are like relieved when they can kind of maybe go back sort of like, you know, to how it was before, or as close as they can get back to it. So that's something I've kind of always like perceived, or just like, oh, well, you gotta, you know, stopped doing it when it wasn't, you know, required or necessary, and, you know, that's, you know, for remote work or any of those kind of things. But so, yeah, I mean, I think that's a good segue though, is that, you know, as we wrap up here, you know, we are, again, quote unquote, kind of rebooting the show a little bit. I'll be hopping in and having, you know, kind of facilitating the conversations with folks. And you'll still be kind of helping to mentor me and, you know, guide me and all those sort of things, help make some connections. But just from your point of view, if you want to kind of share, you know, we can both kind of chime in here. But, you know, like, what's next for the show? What can folks expect?
Yeah, well, one, they get treated to your awesome voice. Like, I always have been jealous of you. You have a very good radio podcaster voice, and I'm always like, I need to enhance my way of enunciating and things like that. I actually, another little bird walk here for a moment, I was a DJ on my college radio station, so I got used to talking in kind of DJ voice for a little while. But in addition to better audio, I think really for the show, it's kind of a deeper exploration of some of these kind of best practices. I think where we come in, you bring kind of your expertise in the podcasting, but also having been a Resonance Life professional yourself, and then me really being immersed in that Resonance Life world day to day on a regular basis, I think allows us to kind of look out there and surface content and people and highlight ideas that maybe should have more airtime. I think that's really kind of where we go from here, is seeing those things that maybe should be elevated, aren't being elevated. How can we put it out there? And really kind of creating a space that doesn't exist, right? Like, there is no Res Life, Res Ed focused audio content. Akuhu, I did just start a podcast, but there's a little more focused on history and talking to some people that kind of do that. It's a slightly different topic area, but that's what I'm excited for, is to kind of bring the talents of all these people together and kind of really, really highlight them.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, and that's just what keeps me doing this is just, yeah, like I do just have a genuine excitement for having the conversations and talking about the work, and, you know, it's just important stuff. And yeah, for all of us to kind of talk shop, and I think kind of the rising tide lifting all ships and stuff, that's something that I think is a very positive hallmark of, you know, education in general and higher education no different, where like people are just more than willing to like show and tell, you know, like we will go to these conferences and talk about things. Like this is a whole other podcast episode, but like there is like in certain pockets the like, oh, we're competing and like rivals and that sort of thing, but it's like I think kind of like just lost, thankfully, a little bit in the mix of people just being very generous with their time and talking about things and talking about those best practices. And, you know, they can show the evidence of like, you know, this is how I did it here. These are the kind of foundational principles we use to sort of inspire it, and, you know, take this and do with it what you will. People kind of remix it and mash it up and create something else great, you know, on their campus that kind of works better for their, you know, environment and everything. And I think something that I always appreciate, just having talked with a lot of people, just doing a lot of different works where, yeah, like stuff like, you know, digital engagement, you know, kind of just, I think that's part of your all's ethos too, but just like, how do these sort of concepts show up in the very traditional, like on ground, person to person? It's like, how do we sort of augment the work that, you know, has been a part of the college experience for, you know, generations and everything. So, just bringing those, you know, best practices and strategies and, just really interesting people and stuff, and just very appreciative of the opportunity to jump in and kind of have this sandbox to play in. And we're aiming for episodes every other week, so just keep an eye out on the feed, and I think we'll try to rebroadcast some of the greatest hits to kind of get those back in front of people as well. But super excited to get started.
Yeah, thanks. Glad we could collaborate with you. Glad you were available and willing. And I think you're going to turbocharge it. You're going to take it to that next level. I'm pretty excited.